Today we are going to deal with the walls of Jericho. So we will read from Joshua chapter 6. Allow me to read the whole chapter of Joshua chapter 6. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. Seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of rams, horns, before the ark. On the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, everyone straight before him." So Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, "Take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of rams, horns, before the ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the ark of the Lord." And just as Joshua had commanded the people, the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets with the ark of the covenant of the Lord following them. The armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the ark while the trumpets blew continually. But Joshua commanded the people, "You shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout." So he caused the ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord walked on, and they blew the trumpets continually. And the armed men were walking before them, and the rear guard was walking after the ark of the Lord, while the trumpets blew continually. And the second day, they marched around the city once and returned into the camp. So they did for 6 days. On the seventh day, they rose early at the dawn of day and marched around the city in the same manner seven times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city seven times. And at the seventh time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction. lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. But all silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. Then they devoted all in the city to destruction, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkeys, with the edge of the sword. But to the two men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, "Go into the prostitute house and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her, as you saw to her." So the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and everything in it. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Joshua laid an oath on them at the time, saying, "Cursed before the Lord be the man who rises up and rebuilds this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn shall he lay its foundation, and at the cost of his youngest son shall he set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this wonderful morning. We thank you of your word, that which we read. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to lead us, to open our eyes, to open our ears, so that we are able to comprehend your word. We know, our dear Heavenly Father, we cannot do this without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we come before you to seek that guidance this morning. Amen. So this is the story that is not easy. And yes, we thank the living God for these stories, because when it's difficult to comprehend, we will then appreciate the work of the Holy Spirit. So we are dealing with the journey of the Israelites, and hence we will limit it to the fall of the walls of Jericho. So we hear that this city, it has these big walls, the inner wall and the outer wall. So all these walls, it was built of stone and bricks. And it was a huge wall, in which if you are inside, you feel you are secured. If you are inside, you know nothing will happen unto you. So it was something that was crafted very well. And yes, Jericho was a fortified city. Now, we hear in this scripture about the trumpets. And what is it with the trumpets? But just to lay the foundation of this scripture, we need to know that we hear about the trumpets in the Old Testament, mainly. We hear it from the book of Exodus, chapter 19. You will also hear it from 1 Thessalonians 4. You will also hear it from Exodus 19. But you will also hear it from Numbers 10, where God says to Moses, create the trumpets. But what does these trumpets signify? It will tell you that when the Lord had to appear before the Israelites, there will be thunders and lightning, and hence you will hear the noise of the trumpet. So it announces to you that the king has come. The Lord is in our midst. So that is the significance of the trumpet here. But the other issue about the trumpet is that when it's blown, you know it's time for war or it's time for victory. And if my memory serves me well, the Jews continue to celebrate what we call the Feast of the Trumpet. It's a serious issue within their culture. And they've got what we call Rosh Hashanah, where they are able to set out holidays where they go and celebrate the trumpet. So it's not a small thing within them, because it talks about the king coming, it talks about the time of war, it also talks about the time of victory. But as in when we are reading, we also learned that there were things that were sacred, there were things that the Lord would have said, no, spare these ones, and don't spare every living thing in this city. And yes, those that were spared, they were kept in the treasury of the Lord. So it was all about God. But this story has a criticism that the archaeologist would have went to this place of Jericho. But seemingly, some of them, they said, no, we cannot find anything. We cannot see anything. We cannot prove anything about this city. And others will say, no, therefore, if they cannot find anything as archaeologists, it simply means this story was exaggerated. This story is more of a storytelling than historical facts. But it's not our focus today. But I believe we cannot exhaust this matter today, and therefore, when you go home in your own space, you are able to explore all these issues. But in this book, we are seeing Joshua taking over from Moses. But Joshua was somebody who played a prominent role all the way. You can call him the general of the army of the Israelites. So if you go and read Exodus 17, you would realize that Moses would have talked to him to say, go and choose the men who should go and fight. So Joshua, his name would mean God is salvation. So this was the leader of the Israelites at this particular moment in time. If you so wish, you can call him the general by himself, the commander of the army of God. I want us to explore this text that we have read under the heading, By Faith the walls of Jericho will fall. By faith, the walls of Jericho will fall. And I'm using here the future tense because although this is an ancient story, it should teach us a lot to us today. What is it that we should learn? And as in when we are exploring it, we should be able to make reference to the scripture, but we should also draw lessons as to what is it that we should learn from this particular scripture. As I've said, the topic should be, by faith, the walls of Jericho will fall. The first thing that I want us to learn from this scripture is that being a Christian, being a believer, does not mean we are not going to experience battles in our lives. Being a believer, it would mean that every days of our lives we are called to carry our cross each and every day, and that we need to do it with faith. But it's not an easy thing, because when these challenges comes in our lives, when these walls of hostility comes in our lives, it's very difficult, and sometimes we lose faith. And therefore, we are reminded by this scripture, like the Israelites going to the promised land, that as in when they were going to the promised land, they had so many battles along the way. But these battles, they had to go into with faith. So as Christians, we are called to be people of faith, to be people who continue to trust in the living God. And that's why the Lord would have said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. He knew very well that it's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult, but he's called to be a leader of faith. He's called to be a believer of faith because it's not going to be easy. I would have wished that throughout the journey, the Christianity journey, we do not face any challenges. But unfortunately, God, the author of life, have really designed this life in a way that we will have to have our cross each and every day, to carry our cross every day as believers. And we will find ourselves in the battlefield almost every day of our lives. Paul says, if you are a believer, you are like a sheep to be slaughtered every day. The second thing that I want us to learn is, as in when we are in battles, as in when we are supposed to carry our cross every day, we should know that the battle belongs to the living God. We should know that the battle is not ours. We should know that the battle belongs to God. And the battle belongs to God because we are not fighting with the flesh and blood, but with the principalities. And therefore, we cannot understand sometimes as in when we are in battle. That's why sometimes we get confused. And it's time for us to surrender, knowing that the battle belongs to the living God. And it was set clear in this scripture that as in when you are going to conquer this city, as in when you are going to conquer Jericho, I, the Lord, have delivered this city unto you. I will defeat them, their king, and every inhabitant that is there. I will deliver it to you, because the battle belongs to the living God. Sometimes in our lives, we meet challenges. As we have said, that we are in a battlefield. And as in when we meet challenges, we get confused. Sometimes we get stranded. Like as in when Moses was leading the Israelites,
When there is no water and he is told to take his staff and point unto the stove so that the water might come out. But when he receives pressure from the people that he was leading, he was confused and he decided to hit the stone. But the good thing is that, yes, God would have delivered his promises. So we are called as Christians to know that it's not in our powers. We are called to know it's not because of our wisdom, but it's because the Lord who has called us will be the one to deliver us. Sometimes I have met people who will bully you. And as in when they are bullying you, you think maybe you must just fight for yourself. And you will realize that you are meeting somebody who's a giant enough. That as in when you take this fight to yourself, he will continue to deal with you several times. And you are not going to win this war. And in our lives, as in when challenges come, we are called to surrender. We are called to know that the battle belongs to the living God, and therefore we must call upon the name of the living God to be with me. God had walked with the Israelites to deliver them, and he has done a lot of miracles to deliver them. But in some instances, they will be confused. They will say, no, this God is like, it's not delivering us. This God is like, is not with us. And hence, they will resort in their own means to try to resolve the challenges that they are facing. But the scripture reminds us that the battle belongs to the living God. Remember, this is the promise that God would have given to Abraham, that I will give this land unto you. I will give this land to the Israelites. But sometimes they would forget that this is the promise of the Lord. This is where God wants them to be. And they would want to do things by themselves. But each time they were reminded that this is the battle that belongs to the Lord. But as in when the battle belongs to the Lord, there's something extraordinary, there's something good, there's something that I love here. That when God is saying, I have delivered Jericho unto you, God was saying, with me, in other words, with God, we don't fight for victory, but we fight from victory. Yes, they should be in the battlefield. They should do what the Lord is saying they must do. But they are doing all those efforts from victory. It's already won. With all the challenges that you must face in life, as a believer, you need to know that those battles have already been won. It's just upon you to trust on the living God. Because the battle is not either myself or yours. It belongs to the Lord. So we fight from victory, not for victory. The third thing that I want us to take home this morning from this scripture is that God uses the foolish things of this world for his glory. I have listened to this. I try to play this passage, this chapter, every time and again. I want to listen to the logic of this plan that God would have given unto Joshua. To say, just go and surround. Just go and do that which God have told you to do. Just march around the city. And I said, but really? I have to conquer Jericho. This is a gateway to Canaan, to the land of milk and honey. But I'm told, just go and surround it and walk around and don't say anything. Until such time I told you to say something. And I said, what kind of a plan is this? I believe that if you are from the military background, this strategy doesn't sound like a good strategy. If you were to go and conquer the city, but you're just going and around, for all the days that the Lord would have mentioned. And God sometimes uses foolish things in our eyes for his name's sake. That's why he would have put David in front of Goliath to say, yes, deal with this giant. And really, with the stone, you need to collapse this giant. It didn't make sense. But when it had happened, then the people would know that, yes, the God that David prays is a living God. But that's what we also see here. As in when Rahab and all the inhabitants of Jericho hear about what God is doing for the Israelites, they were trembling. But when you look at the plan, you think, no, this is not. And sometimes in our lives, when God says, I will deliver you, you look, sometimes we even pray with our eyes focus on the problem, not on God. We think these problems are insurmountable, that God cannot do anything. Sometimes even just to pray, we don't pray because we think these problems are too much. We don't trust this God. We don't think this God will deliver us. The Israelites, even when they were crossing the sea, they will be able to say, no, Moses, you should have led us there in Egypt. Why have you brought us here? Do you want us to be buried in the desert? At least we should have been buried in Egypt. And they had lost hope to an extent that the only thing they were looking for, they were thinking of, is that their burial should have happened in Egypt, not in the desert. But God delivered them. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it's difficult to comprehend, but we need to know that the Lord, although sometimes we do not understand his plans, he will surely be with us. Sometimes when I'm in challenges, I would wish that maybe I could hear the voice of God saying to me, I will deliver you in 1 to 5. Because sometimes it's difficult to wait. But we are called to wait on the Lord. We are called to be people of faith. And when the Lord does this, this is the fourth thing. The second last is doing it for his glory. He's doing it for the sake of his name. Is doing it so that his name remains a testimony wherever we are. As in when we walk, as in when you are in your workplace, as in when wherever you are, people should be able to say, we should pray the Lord of that gentleman because he's someone who really works. So in everything that happens in our lives, in the walls of hostility that is we face in our lives, in the challenges that we face in our lives, we need to know God is doing it so that at the end, he is able to be exalted. Have you ever come across a situation where you have lost hope and you realize there's nothing more left for you. You do not have a strength anymore. And when you do not have a strength, God comes and deliver you and pick you up at the time that you never expected that God will be able to pick you up. Surely, you will say, this was the Lord. He should be exalted. He should be in his throne. And we should see him like that. We will know that he is an omnipotent God. He is an omnipresent God. He is the author of our lives. And surely he cannot just create us to leave us in confusion. The last thing that I want us to take home is that when everything else is falling, when everything else is collapsing, God will be able to keep you. God will be able to save you. We learn here about a prostitute, Rahab. And sometimes these are people that even in the community they are written off. I assume that this woman was very rich. The word of God records in chapter 5 that her house was in the wall of Jericho. But she was a prostitute. But when she heard of what God had done for the Israelites throughout the journey, she told the spies that our hearts melted. Some other translation, they said, the Canaanites were like people without spirit. They were really trembling. And she says, I want to pray the Lord, the God that saved you. And from that act of hiding the spies of the Lord, from that act of when the king sent the people to say, go and tell Rahab to bring those men that comes. And she said, I didn't see these people. And she hid them. She saved them. And for that, she was called a woman of faith. To a level where this woman, Rahab, she's also in the genealogy of Christ. Because she was a woman of faith. But what does this talk to me and you as I conclude? What are our walls today? All the challenges that you face. We are now faced with COVID-19. First variant, second variant, we're not sure about the third and the fourth. And people are dying. We are devastated. People are losing jobs. Economies are collapsing. People do not have hopes anymore. But we are called to be people of faith each and every time of our lives. We are called to trust in the living God, to say the Lord will deliver us as he had delivered the Israelites, as they manage to conquer this city of Jericho. May the good Lord bless his word. Amen. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you of your word that reminds us of the important thing that salvation is yours and the battle belongs to you. And we need to be people of faith who continue to trust you. Father, as in when we face these walls, we pray for all those families who have lost their loved ones during this pandemic.
We pray for those who have lost their jobs. We pray for those whose jobs are at stake. Let this situation remind us that we need to turn on you and focus on you than focusing on the pandemic. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we also pray for forgiveness of our sins. We pray for our leaders in our communities, church leaders, political leaders, that give us wisdom so that we continue to walk as those who are obedient to you. Give us wisdom so that we know that we must walk with you. We know, our dear Heavenly Father, that we are totally dependent on you. And we thank you of these challenges that we face, for we know we are very vulnerable without you. We thank you, our Father. Amen.